Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. The other day, I dove in on this Patton Oswalt interview on the Interrobang, and I mentioned that the interviewer sounded like a 12-year-old. Sorry, no other way to say it. I thought I'd dive back in there. The interviewer said, "Hey, Patton, congratulations on being picked up for your fourth season. I'm so excited to watch it. What's it like working with the entire cast?" Patton said, "Everyone on the cast is amazing. Glenn Howerton is fantastic, and all three of the women who play the teachers have been doing shows out of Chicago and are improv geniuses. And we completely lucked out with a cast of actors and actresses that play the students because they're all just incredible. I can't believe how lucky we are. Are you guys watching AP Bio? I was like sort of watching it when it was on NBC. I'm not watching it while it's on Peacock. Peacock hasn't grabbed me yet. And if I do watch Peacock, I have the version with commercials, which is a major turnoff for me. Team Hulu, hashtag Team Hulu. But I don't dislike it. I don't know. I just want to, I guess when I see Clint Howard in, I'm like, can you just do more Philly episodes?" The Interrobang said, "You're in one of the greatest shows ever. You were the video store clerk on Seinfeld." Patton, "That was my very first TV acting gig." "Your firsts are very impressive." "I'm very, very lucky." "When you were first starting comedy, were there established comedians or actors who saw your talent and helped you along the way?" "The comedians who helped me were always my peer group of friends who kept me honest. They tell me to write better stuff, and they truly made comedy exciting and fun for me. I think that when you have that kind of attitude, people see that you really like what you're doing, and that makes them want to keep working with you. There's that common theme that after you work with Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld, you went on to work with Jerry Stiller on King of Queens. I always talk about a Mount Rushmore of comedians, but Jerry Stiller's above Mount Rushmore." Patton, "He and Ann Mira created so much. I love his delivery, how it could be very angsty and unsmooth, and his ability to play confusion and rage while being his own worst enemy. I just loved. He was such a genius. I remember doing a scene where it starts with him walking in the room saying, 'Hello, Douglas,' and the way he said it received such a huge laugh that it actually threw the scene off. There's always just a sense that something weird and great was about to come out of his head, and we were all so excited to be there, you know?" From Deadline, "This sounds kind of cool. Showtime has landed a development deal for a single-camera comedy project created by writers Moshe Kasher and Jermaine Fowler." Moshe's really great. Jermaine's cool, too, but I really like Moshe. Now listen to this. "The untitled comedy is set in 1997. The description: in South Central Los Angeles, the heart of West Coast gangster rap, a group of teenage social outcasts attempt to solve the mystery of the murder of their hero, Biggie Smalls." That sounds like a good time. "I told you Second City was for sale. It has been sold. ZMC is a hedge fund or something. They bought it. One of the suits over there said, 'We are very excited to partner with management and the incredible talent at the Second City to grow the brand and build a diverse organization that elevates all voices. Over its 60-year history, the Second City has been home to some of the most beloved names in comedy, and we plan on building the next generation of comedy talent by investing in people and creativity.' SpectrumNews1.com, which is your home for comedy news, caught up with Maz Jobrani about Pandemic Warrior. That's a special on Peacock. Ma said, "In December of 19, I went to Dubai. I filmed the special. I was like, all right, I'm going to go back home early 2020. We're going to get it on air. Life's moving forward. Everything's great. And then suddenly, boom, pandemic, lockdown, no more shows." Rather than scrap the project, he decided to realign the concept to incorporate comedy and life as he knows it during the pandemic, resulting him in renaming the special and adding an intro and outro addressing the current state of affairs. Maz said, "I added about 3 or 4 minutes at the beginning where I'm doing my show the way I've been doing it under lockdown, basically in a closet, and I remind people this is the world we're in now, and then I say, 'Let's go watch the special I filmed.' And then at the end, I come back and I do a few more minutes of closet comedy, and thus, Pandemic Warrior." Norman Lear has been named as the third recipient of the Carol Burnett Award that will be presented at the 2021 Golden Globes on February 28th. The Carol Burnett Award was started in 2019. Guess who won the first Carol Burnett Award? Can you guess? You're probably like, oh, it's probably like Tina Fey or Amy Poehler. Nope. The very first winner of the Carol Burnett Award was Carol Burnett. What? What are we doing? The award aims to honor those who have made outstanding contributions to television on or off the screen. So yeah, I guess Carol Burnett would be a great choice for the Carol Burnett Award. By the way, I am proud. I didn't get to tell you guys. I won the 2021 Johnny Mac Award. Norman Lear, in case you're not familiar, has a great track record. He is the creator of All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Good Times, Sanford and Son, Maude, One Day at a Time, and many others. That's pretty good. Norman Lear is 98 years old. Steven, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me? If you're laughing at that, you know what it is. It's Matt Berry Sunday. This might be the last Matt Berry Sunday unless Vulture writes another one of these. If you are new to Matt Berry Sunday, Vulture has been writing about Matt Berry. Who's Matt Berry? You know him. He's the British vampire in What We Do in the Shadows. If you're hip to Britcoms, he's in a bunch of things. You should be watching The IT Crowd. You should be watching Toast of London. And then you will laugh every time I say, Stephen, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me? Somebody out there is laughing. The Americans are like, what? Why is that funny? Vulture writes, Matt Berry should be absorbed into the Star Wars universe via The Mandalorian on Disney+. I'm down. I am so down with that idea. This is not only something we would enjoy, it's also legally required at this point in his career. Every accomplished British actor must, as a formal recognition of their celebrity, be presented to American audiences via a Harry Potter, a Game of Thrones, or a Star Wars. Since two of those are no longer much of an option, The Mandalorian is the obvious choice and moral imperative. Berry's performances embody a playful gravitas that makes him a perfect fit for the Star Wars universe, a place where very serious things happen in a way that can still be fun for kids. And while Berry has rarely delivered performances entirely suitable for children, The Mandalorian offers a rougher, decidedly more mature post-Empire galaxy that has more in common with the Wild West than either the Democratic Republic of the prequels or Palpatine's fascist theocracy. It's also expansive as the Star Wars universe has ever been, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I love Star Wars, but that's not why you're here. It shouldn't even be up for debate whether Berry has the range to play the kind of weathered space veteran that would exist in The Mandalorian. For one thing, he has already fought Luke Skywalker and acted opposite Rey. There are some links there. How do I share a link with you during a podcast? I guess I'll click on them. Fought Luke Skywalker. Click. Oh, yeah. Mark Hamill was on What We Do in the Shadows. I forgot. I should have known that one. You guys are probably screaming at your headphones. Acted opposite Rey. Let me click on that. Daisy Ridley was on Toast of London. I didn't recognize her. Back to Vulture. But as this is real serious journalism, we must provide you with a firmer proof of concept. Matt Berry, in Year of the Rabbit, as Detective Inspector Rabbit, has a distinctive facial scar that, for all we know, could have come from a lightsaber. Oh, I thought we were done here. There's three more paragraphs. See, on my little script here, I had a big space. I guess I'll save that for next Sunday, right? Yeah, why not? I'll save it. One more Matt Berry Sunday coming up. Hey, good job, Stand Up New York. That's the comedy club in New York City with Donnie Zoldan. You know Donnie, he's always fighting with Jerry Seinfeld and Governor Cuomo. And I'm friends with Donnie, so I'm on his side. Good job, Donnie and Stand Up New York. They've announced a partnership with a health agency to help working comedians get free healthcare visits and COVID tests during the pandemic. Their website says, understanding the struggle that working comics are going through during the pandemic, we have partnered with Cayman Health to provide free healthcare visits and COVID testing to working comedians in New York. We appreciate all you do to keep New Yorkers laughing during these challenging times, and we hope we're able to relieve a bit of stress for you. Good job out of them. Stephen, this is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me? Sometime this afternoon, check out the Instagram page. I will have posted the results of last week's Comedy Top Dog. From a podcast standpoint, I reveal those on Monday, but if you paid attention all week, you can probably guess who won, and I'm going to pit that winner up against one of my favorite comedians. You know who one of my favorite comedians is, right? Talked about that person recently. That's probably next week's matchup, so jump on Instagram sometime on Sunday afternoon and look for the graphic, or come back tomorrow, and I'll just tell you who it is as we battle out comedy's top dog. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll see if you guys actually like my favorite comedian or not. Proof's in the pudding, folks. Maybe Johnny Mac's right. We'll see. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you want to buy me a coffee, oh, this is a shake. I'm such an idiot. Can you even hear this? I'm holding up a cup. I usually have an iced coffee in the studio. This is not an iced coffee. This is a breakfast shake that I made. Why don't I edit these things out? Because I'm amusing myself. So I apparently don't have a coffee. One of you is going to have to go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and buy me one, or I'm just going to have to keep drinking breakfast shakes because I can't shake on mic easily. See you tomorrow.